another windy day out here. So I'll put the jacket on over the microphone. And see how things go. Last night we finished up watching the Earthship video. It's called Garbage Warrior. And it's really quite fun because a lot of places, or the one place where a lot of the film was shot, is in our neighborhood. Lisa and I took a little, it was a paid tour. We had paid like $20 a piece to go and check out the Earthship. And I don't remember how much we paid. It could have been 20, it could have been less. I'm kind of thinking it's less. I think if it was $20, I would have balked at that. It's windy. It's an icy wind. Oh my gosh, you can look over there to the north, and it looks like something's coming. Pretty definitively. And I'm still trying to solidify on any level at all my plans for tomorrow. On doing a SAS install in Clovis. It ends up being a full day thing, and probably a little bit more than that. So kind of tempting just to just to start it going and then check in on it every once in a while. But I was getting ready to make kind of a, ooh, it looks like rain too. It really does. It's got kind of a, kind of ebb to it. I can't tell really which way the wind's coming from. It's come from the southwest. So I don't think this storm is really coming this way, or at least the wind isn't blowing it this way. Anyway. So we have to think about the whole what do we want out of life, sort of thing, you know. I have to be honest, a big chunk of Shetland had to do with having our kids go to school there. And the oldest kid in school right now, in secondary school, Joshua, he's kind of hunting around going back to house next year. So, you know, I really don't know where this is all headed. Should I keep talking about this? This is one little thought I had that made my heart sing that Josh was going to marry some Scottish girl and that could be a reason why we were going over there. I don't know. It all kind of depends. But my overriding hope, God's leading us somewhere. The funny part is if it ends up being writing, and much more of the philosophical stuff, well, I don't necessarily have to live anywhere, you know, in particular. You can go wherever you want to with that stuff. Oh, I think this is a west headwind. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm headed west. And I'm getting it straight on. Yeah. Having fun keeping my hat on. Well, I think, ultimately, the best thing that can be said is, it's probably too early to be making decisions like that. Let's ride this thing out. Not out, but just ride this thing and see what happens. And, like I said, we'll see. Beyond that, it's really difficult to know what's the right move to make. You really don't know what's happening, what's coming. Although I intend to use Shetland as an example in a book about governments built on family, that's only it's only an example. You know, it isn't like, oh, we're putting a whole thing behind Shetland. You go, oh, I don't know. Can't really say. You know, it's really up to people in Shetland. You can put these things out here. But honestly, I'm not a Shetlander. You know, and I'm not the kind of person who would throw himself in there and say, okay, well, you know, I am a Hitler, and, you know, try to force my will on somebody else. I don't think I would ever look at it as a matter of forcing my will on somebody else. It would be more of a, huh. Oh, just down that way. This is my normal walk.
Okay.
Thank you. Supposed to be for exercise. I think more today it's like being blown upon. Oh, but we're used to the wind. So it's not a big deal. So yeah, it wouldn't be along the lines of, you know, that, you know. Well, it's a philosophical thing. You know, it isn't the throwing out of government, because, of course, in other places where obviously they cannot make, they are not going to have the opportunity to reform their government particularly. The United States is one in particular. You know, you'll be going more to the family opt-out. Where you would try to get something like a constitutional amendment that always allows for families to opt out of things, and that the repercussions from this would be incredibly widespread. I've talked about before, you know, the government would be totally opposed to any such thing. Of course, I'm sorry, I think you would look like a, the only term I have for it is a prick. You look like a horrible prick if you found yourself on the other side of this, and, you know, you'd be hard pressed to find rhetoric trying to say, no, we can't allow families to opt out of this. You know, you find a little bit of a hole, you know, well, if you know what we stand, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. And he goes, this isn't about nations or countries or communities or anything like that. This is about people. You know, he says, you have to understand all of these things. All these things that you hope to protect are abstractions, you know. You may love the town you live in because it's got theater, or it's got, you know, or the nightlife is fun, or it's got the restaurants you like, and you've got friends there. And you're going, but, you know, when push comes to shove, if circumstances change, you lose a job and have to sequence someplace else, are you going to leave that place? Absolutely. You know, those kinds of weird loyalties melt in the face of reality. And that's what family is. Family is reality. Sometimes you just have, you know, you can ignore your family. You can tell them to piss off to a certain extent. You know, when you get old enough. Says, but when times get really hard, I'm sorry, government won't step up to the plate to help you. You know, everybody knows how that is. You know, takes a long time. They make, the government may make a demand on you that you're not willing to meet. You know, I'm not saying families don't have some criteria too, but by and large, the relationship wins out. I mean, you know, you may not have a beautiful, lovey-dovey, huggy relationship. Your father may still not like the guy you married, and that is having to move in with you because they have no place else to go. But you know what? That'll still happen. Where, you know, if you rely on nation, state, community, even neighborhood, you know, if you've screwed up in public housing, if they've taught you with drugs or you know, exchange some kind of crime out of your public housing place, you're gone. And there is no recourse. There is no, it's okay, we'll take you back. There isn't any of that. You know, that's how governments must be. You know, and nobody's asking them to be any different than that. Because, you know, they have to have rules. Well, rules have to be followed. Because that's all nations, states, communities, that's really all that they consist of. It's a bunch of rules, regulations. What you can do, what you can't do there. You know, the things that pass for a culture. You know, we have a culture here. And you go, it's just kind of a mix of rules and ideas and concepts that are enforced there. Whether it is by government or by society, you know, whether it's by mores or law. That's what ends up kind of being a little cultural. You know, families have a culture too, but it can bend quite a bit because what's important, what ends up trumping all else in family is family. You know, if your mom is a diehard, you know, my children are not going to be gay, and all of a sudden one of the kids comes home and says, "I'm gay." You know what they're going to do? They're going to adjust to it. You know, where a larger culture doesn't have to. You know, because, you know, family is really the only thing you can turn to when things really get hard. Government is likely the thing that fails you and drives you back to your family. Is the fact that, well, I was on social welfare and then, you know, it just wasn't enough, or they didn't give me, you know, they had these rules, and I couldn't keep the rules. I kept having little infractions of it, and they finally cut me off from the program. And you go, not so likely to happen with family. In fact, very unlikely to happen. That's why, you know, I was just typing today about the whole kind of, you know, literature is rife with orphans, with people who are estranged from their family, you know, and you have to understand that in fiction, you know, these things are, how do you say it, you know, these things are caricatures. That's exactly what they are, you know. Difficult to say you know, that's what keeps stories going, are the fact that, you know, this character is always going to behave this way. Or if it's a redemption story and it's all about change, you may very well get to have that. But by and large, no. So people got all these things. Oh, back in those days, I read books from back in those days, you know, everybody was an orphan. Everybody lived down the streets and horrible, wretched squalor. And you go, I won't say a thing about squalor or not. You know, everything's relative. Very well could have been squalor back then for many, many people. But I don't think the whole world was full of orphans. It happens. Happens today too, but we already have systems setting it up. You know, the extension of the larger family. You would get taken in by your relatives, and they would take care of you. You know, it wasn't until we got to the point to where, you know, because let's take your average daycare center. Simple enough, these things are not a parent replacement. No matter how much people want to say that they are. You know, bring them to a daycare center, kids who have been left in daycare are just as well, probably even better, than children taking home people at home. That's rhetoric, that's propaganda, and I don't believe it for a minute. Because it was really easy, I'll tell you the really easy difference. I could choose who I was going to take as kids. If I had a troublesome kid, and he was causing problems around the daycare center, I got rid of that kid. You know, talk to the parents, say, hey, if we continue to have these problems, your kid can't come here anymore. Chances are, after that first talk to the parents will simply go off and find somebody else to stick their kids with, you know. It was just that simple. See, in families typically, now I'm not going to say universally, but families don't pull those stunts. Families can't do that. You know, there's something more there to the relationship than a simple fee for service. Woo! We're getting a good one this morning. My God, it's kicking up the sand. Oi, I'm ready to turn back around. Because I'm going straight into this sucker. Thank goodness for hats. I'd be plastered by now. Oh. You know, and that's simply the way a community deals with people. You know, you have to function within certain parameters or they won't tolerate it. Families don't have jails. At least no family I've ever heard of runs their own personal jail. That's usually considered pretty sick. You know? Everybody deserves having a place where they're safe, where they're loved, that they can call home, and whenever they need to, they can go running back to it. As much as possible. I mean, at some point the table turns, and it begins to be, is there someplace for me? Hopefully your kids can take you in. Unless you're too difficult to care for. Often happens. That's where nursing homes come from. Oh. Anyway, okay, let's turn around. God, this is just crazy. Whew, now I'm going to get picked up and carried away. Now that it's on my back, I'm going to have a cold neck. Oh, I'm having to pull my head back to keep my hat down. Keep it from getting lifted up off my head and taken away. Oy. Oh. Well, that's why I have a family-based government, you know. Most of the decisions about people should take place in the family. Most of the help given to families should take place in the family. The family isn't sufficient to handle it. You must rely on extended family, friends. Typically it's going to be extended family. I'm sorry, you know, friends come and go. You don't have a huge commitment to them. You know, it's just the nature of the difference. I don't know if it's a question of kith, you know, where you have kith and kin. I don't know if there's some kind of kith where it's with friends or people who are considered as family. I'll have to look that up because I don't really know. I've heard of it and I've seen the concept of it, I think. I don't know where I was reading, but somebody stumbled upon the whole idea of tribalism and about how terrible it was, and about how it was a quick road to destruction. And I firmly disagree with that. Firmly disagree. Because now, you know, the fact that people can have no more affinity toward anybody else than just their family and a few close friends bound together. But I think we've learned over time that large nation states who pretty much push down authority, you know, I am the authority, you know, the state or the county is merely a subunit of a national government. You know, your county government isn't answerable to the county. It's answerable to the higher authority above them. You know, and the further down you go, the less power there is. And then when you finally reach the individual families themselves, nobody, you know, there is very little very little decision left to family, you know? Oh, it's quite nice, you know. I was supposed to listen in to a privacy workshop. The first part of it had absolutely nothing to do with what I do. It all had to do with who was allowed to see the records of college students. And pretty much it said, you know, parents are allowed access to their students' records. I think so long as that student has not specifically, you know, signed a paper saying that their parents should not have access to it. And if your parents claim you as dependent on taxes, if they're co-signers on loans, things like that, hey, you know, are they entitled to your school records? Absolutely. You know, they are partners in this thing. And this law written that was, you know, that tried to address this issue of technically adult children and how you're supposed to be able to, you know, allow parents access to their records, things like that. And it became, you know, it was a really interesting conversation about the whole thing. And it's kind of heartening to see these kinds of things going on. But as always, it's always a top-down thing, which you have to understand, since it's put in place by those on top, it can also be taken away by those on top. You know, if it becomes in their interest important that they have more control over your child than you do, you know, they can simply rescind all that stuff. And that becomes one of the big things. At what point is a child independent? At what point do you not have to seek your parents' approval for what to do? I have no problem with an age, whether it's 18 or 20 or 21, you know. I'm a proponent of 18 myself. Although you don't want to make the system so onerous about it that when an adult child wants to share these things with their parents, that it's not a horrible process to get it done. So I kind of like the whole concept of, you know, you have to sign a statement saying that you don't want your parents to have access to this. But if these are legal questions, and they should be predominantly left to families, individual families, to work out. You know, if you put your child into college, that would just be one of the things where a family expresses its desire in relation to this. Not, well, the government requires this, or the government has done it this way. I am much more, I stay out of my children's affairs when they're adults. You know? I love them, I want to help them, but it's always on their terms, you know? Yeah, I'm not going to tell you about them. It's a shame, you don't have to. It's not required. Because now there's certain rules of behavior that I want you to do while you're living under my roof. You know, now what I'll allow in the house and what I won't. I says, but, I says, beyond that, I says, you know, we almost have a landlord-renter agreement. You know, on that score. So if you're living with us, you contribute to the family, but beyond that, you're your own person. And we still love you. We'll still help you, you know. Oh. You know, I'll get to the college, I'll bring you back later. You go, I don't have a car to give you. I have the money to buy you a car to send over there to you. And it would be burdensome. It would be a burdensome thing for you to have. Bills to be paid, this and that. Getting it registered in a certain state, blah, blah, blah. You know, I said, better not to have one. Better to walk. I appreciate college on that level. Oh. Whew. It's a whole lot easier walking with the wind than against it. Oh. Oh. Anyway, so family based government. And you may want to codify some of the social rules that kind of help keep things from getting out of hand. You know, a father is not a totalitarian dictator, particularly. You know, says, do we have a mechanism to stop these sorts of things from happening? And you go, not really. Oh, we need one. And you go, and under what criteria do you figure it's right to sever a child from their parents? I think we've gone way too far on the other side of that. You know, there is a laundry list of, I was considered to be rather minor infractions that have justified that kind of a separation. I would tend to err on the side of, you know, clear and present danger of this child's death. No. It says, well then, there you go. We're not touching it. But sometimes all you need is somebody bigger than that dad going in and saying, hey, well, you know, I'm noticing things. I got my eye on you. And if you don't work this out, we'll be bringing you before a judge. Might be putting some restrictions on you. You know. And I don't really know if laws can bring us back. All laws have done is basically justify government's action. And I think that's all that laws tend to do, is simply justify government's what government's doing. You know, well, we're taking the family away. It's not even a question of is it good or is it bad. But wouldn't that this be a thought of, is it, you know, are we justified? You know? And what we see happening all the time is more and more justifications are being brought to bear on when government can intervene. And I think it's gone too far. And we don't see, you know, I used to think of it like kind of a pendulum swing, you know. Swings from really, really lenient and tolerant, and it swings back to being really tight and intolerant, and then it starts swinging back the other way. And I think things like technology that have let authorities have so much more information available to them, says, I don't think it's going to allow that pendulum swing to go back toward something a little saner. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it resets the whole thing toward a little more totalitarian, a little more, hey, you know, I can spend several hours a day monitoring every move this person makes. It's technologically possible. We can see their online habits. We can see their all these other things that they do, and they all become fodder for the justification. You know, it used to be that you had to actually do something bad in order for government to swoop in and intervene. You know, something external had to happen. Now, with enhanced surveillance ability, and the fact that government can pretty much pull any record that they like, you know, even in the land of privacy, privacy only applies to other people. It doesn't apply to, you know, government officials. Government officials can look at anything they want to. Now we're finding out that no warrant required. You know, it used to be that if you were into porn, as long as it didn't, you know, that wasn't a criteria to do anything to you. At least not in a legal, official way, you know. You'd certainly be ostracized. It's certainly great fodder for your wife to claim that you're being unfaithful. And, you know, ask for a divorce, but these aren't government interference matters. These are strictly, you know, family disputes. Now, at least there used to be, I don't know if it's still there used to be a thing that you could change on your website, indicating your emotional state. It was probably the very beginnings of kind of social network sort of Twitter stuff, you know. It was even before the emoticons, and you would have up on your little thing something that would say, you know, I'm feeling happy today, I'm feeling sad, or things like that. And people could measure online how you're feeling, your emotional state. And I think that's a dangerous thing, because then you start almost rounding up or getting into the face of people who are simply of an emotional state. I'm angry. Oh, well, we can't tolerate anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to, you know, the whole Yoda thing. Well, all these things lead to something else. That's true, but there should be no mechanism in place, you know. That's why I am absolutely against prevention. Prevention stifles humanity. We're not going to let you do this because, you know, statistically, in 65% of people, it will lead to this next thing that we don't want you to do. So, we will, you know, lock you up for the precursor. And you go, that's why I have my problems with DWI laws and how onerous they are. And you go, DWI is a precursor. The chances of somebody killing somebody else unintentionally, you know, are higher if they're drinking while, if they've drunk before they went driving, or drinking while driving. You know, and I'm a guy that says we don't get involved in it until something bad actually happens. You know, I got a little castigated for it. Would you prosecute this guy under these laws? I said, no. They said, okay, you won't be on the jury. And you go, that's up to you, Judge. Next time I won't be so forthcoming. And not because I want to save individual people, you know, who are doing stupid things. But we have gotten to the point to where life is so tight that more and more people can't live. You know? I mean, they're still breathing. They're still there. They're still going to work. They're still doing their job. Sadly, that seems to be the only function human beings have to a government is their economic output. And so, if you can make their lives miserable, but they still work and produce the kind of output you would expect from them, you don't care. And, you know, that's where you come to. No man is an island. But government is no parent. And we shouldn't look at them that way. Oh, I don't know how to solve things like land and stuff like that. Some people like having 1,000,000 acres and won't sell it except for $1,000,000 an acre. And, you know, it's their stuff. And apparently, you know, that's how market forces are going to work. Oh, shit.